church today? Are you really excited? Did you think this morning that the God of this universe that commanded the sun to rise up right over that horizon, the God of this universe called you into worship this morning and said, I want to speak to you personally. Personally. And that you had an opportunity today to come into this place and to sing the most awesome name ever spoken, the name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name, right? You had the opportunity, just you, one-on-one, to have communication with God today, to open His Word and know that He specifically geared something to speak to you personally. Blows my mind. I know me. You know you. I am not in line for this. I do not deserve this. But I am humbled by the thought that I even get to speak on His behalf today. And because of that, it gives me a zeal, an excitement to be able to pour into His words and to be able to come in here and speak them to you on a personal level. Not on some cookie cutter sermon that's supposed to just be able to appease you for a certain amount of time. And not in some sense of duty where we come into this place and we say, okay, we've done church. We get to worship the one and only true living God today. Amen. And He loves you. Today, I want to ask you this most important question. I feel like if we could answer this question, you can leave here today with a changed life. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can enter into a personal relationship with God Almighty today. Amen. If you have, then you can strengthen that relationship and it become more personal and more personal. So let me ask you this question. I want you to answer it to yourself. I want to start with a question. Do you have a personal relationship with God? I think sometimes we fail to see how personal our relationship with God could be or should be. You know, I'm going to say this word a lot today because I think we say it, and I've heard several people in the past several weeks saying it and saying it. So I began to examine this one little word. You know how you just get on a word? Personal. Webster says the definition of personal is belonging or particular to one person. Belonging or particular to one person. So meaning in translation between me and you, it's between you and somebody else. It's personal, right? There are a lot of people who really don't have a one-on-one personal relationship with God. But Paul did. I read something in God's Word that Paul wrote. And as I began to look at it, I began to see some things that I thought, hey, these are monumental. I look at the Apostle Paul and I think, man, my hero, outside of Jesus, what a bold, zealous, on fire, enthusiastic child of God, right? God used him and inspired him to write the majority of the New Testament. I think about Paul and I think, what was it that made Paul so unique? Was it that he had all this education? Because he was one of the smartest. He had memorized the first five books of the Bible. He was a Pharisee. He was of the sect of the Pharisees. He was improper, educated, and knew the old letter of the law. But it wasn't that. I'm convinced what made Paul different was that Paul had a real personal relationship with God Almighty through Jesus Christ. But I want you to see that today, because it will inspire us. So turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. When you find your place, did we raise our Bibles yet? What are you waiting on? Everybody stand up and raise your Bible above your head and bear witness of God's word. Amen. You may be seated. Galatians chapter 2. I want you to turn to the person beside of you and I want you to say, it's personal. Again, it's personal. We use that phrase, and when someone gets too close or in our business, we'll say to them, it's personal. That means I'm keeping it in here. It's just between me and somebody a lot closer than you are to me, right? But listen to Paul's testimony in one verse, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You say, what's personal about that? The whole verse is personal. I want you to understand, before we begin to look at this verse, there are a lot of people who don't have a one-on-one personal relationship with God. They think of God as a God who loves all of mankind, and we see ourselves as just a part of all mankind. We see that Jesus died for our sins. He died for the sins of the world so that all the people in the world could accept and believe on his death as a sacrifice for sin. And that all those people that do that can come to God through him by accepting Jesus as their Savior. And so God poured out this on the whole world. And I would tell you, this is not wrong thinking, but we do tend to see ourselves as Christians as the group of people that have come to God through Jesus. You say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's who we are. I would agree, but I think sometimes as Christians, we use the group of believers, all those who've accepted Christ and believed in him for salvation, I think sometimes we use the group of believers to hide in. Now, I want you to understand what I'm saying, because I know that in my Christian walk, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I know that I came into a personal relationship with God. But on many, many days throughout my Christian walk, on those times where I didn't feel like I wanted to worship, I didn't feel like I wanted to pray, I didn't feel like I wanted to read, I didn't feel like I wanted to be faithful, I counted on the group of believers and I hid inside of that group as just one of a large number. God will still get prayed to, he'll still get glorified, he'll still get sang to, and my little difference won't make a difference. Maybe it's only me, but have you ever hid inside of the group of believers? Let me see your hand. All right, so we've got a couple that want to be honest this morning. That helps preaching the service. We look at the whole world, this group of believers, and we think, I can take a day off. I have something I can go and do, but as long as everybody else is doing their thing, they won't miss me. I've taken that day off, and that week, and that month, and that season. And I realize that I still had a relationship with God, but during that time, it wasn't personal. You see, we hide in this group of worldwide believers thinking that individually we're not really noticeable to God. Individually, we can't really change the course of the world. Individually, our contribution is not really important. We begin to think that God is so big and so many people serving him that we can just depend on the large number of people serving him and we can do our own thing and serve ourselves, but yet claim the group. We can claim this group and come into this group every now and then and we won't be missed because there's so many people in this group. God will get it done. He'll get done what he wants done. There's so many people praying to him, worshiping him, serving him, that my absence won't matter. You say, who would ever think like that? Well, look to your left or right and you'll see somebody.
Right.
Look up in front of you and you'll see somebody. Sometimes we say we have a personal relationship, but we don't act like it's personal. When you come into a personal relationship, there's a constant sharing, there's a caring, there's a concern, there's love, and there's reciprocal love. There's a trust. There's another covenant that you come into in life, the marriage covenant. And there's supposed to be this reciprocal love, this personal relationship. And you think, hey, listen, if I were going to pick out what's the personal relationship that God would have us in on this earth, well, I would think either the husband-wife or the parent-child relationship. That's personal, isn't it? You share things. There's a deeper kind of love than can even be explained. But if I took that personal relationship that I have with my wife and I didn't give her the personal part of me back, there was no conversation, there was no trust, there was no reciprocal love, there was no everyday interest, our relationship wouldn't be too personal, would it? I see it happening to marriages all the time. But I see it happening to our walk with God, our relationship with God all the time also. You see, what we need to realize is that our relationship with God is personal. He wants a personal relationship with us. He wants us to have a personal relationship with Him. He wants personal fellowship with us. He wants us to have personal fellowship with Him. He wants personal conversation. He wants to show us personal things about Him and give us personal blessings. And He wants us to devote ourselves to personally serve Him and worship Him. I did a wedding yesterday evening, and in those vows, you're vowing to honor and serve each other, to give yourselves. You're putting the vows of a personal relationship. And when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're taking those personal vows to come into a personal relationship with Him. If I would have treated my marriage like I've treated my relationship with the Lord and sometimes in my life, I wouldn't have a personal relationship anymore. If I would have come to her and given her an hour a week and then put her off and then said, hey, this is more important, that's more important, this is more important, that's more important, their relationship wouldn't have blossomed and bloomed. There would have been not anything there. Wouldn't be personal. I got to have a closer relationship to a friend or somebody else, right? So many people stand on the outside of this personal relationship that they can have with God and just consider themselves to be part of the large group. But His message for us today is, it's personal. I realized today, and I alluded to just a minute ago, I have the opportunity to speak on behalf of God today. I'm humbled by it. But I know that in preparing for this message, He personally spoke to me, personally led me, because He personally wants to speak to you. It needs to be more than this God that we stand outside of the box and look at. It needs to be more than this God that we pick up every once in a while. We know He's there and we believe in Him, but it's not personal. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Can I tell you something awesome about just this passage? Paul gives this declaration about his relationship with God. But I want you to notice how personal it is. Paul uses 8 personal pronouns in this one verse. Now, for those of you that slept through class that day about personal pronouns, let me describe to you what a personal pronoun is. It is something that describes the subject. Not an adjective, but it describes the person. What did Paul say? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in who? Me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you think Paul didn't have a close personal relationship with God? It was like there was nobody else in the world. Here's what I want to tell you. I have crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And this life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's just between Paul and God. And when I look at Paul, I think, man, yeah, you got it. Why don't we? You want to turn the world upside down for God? Then make it personal. Paul did. I'm using him as an example to look to. He gives us these things, and when I think about Paul and the zeal that he had for the Lord, the closeness he had for the Lord, the impact he made for the Lord, the miracles that he was able to see and be a part of, the boldness, the confidence, the joy that he seemed to have, I see that the reason that Paul was able to experience all these things in his relationship with the Lord was that it was personal. He didn't look at God from a distance and say, I'm one of. He said, hey, listen, it's between me and the Lord. I'm not just in the group. But what we need to know is that God wants our relationship with him to be personal too. Do you know that? That's what he desires, a personal relationship with you. Do you know that God considers us precious to him? Do you know that you're the object of God's love, the object of his love? But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, me and you. No, and you know how you are, and I know how I am. This should make it even bigger. He loved me in spite of who I am. I'm the object of his love. But yet, you know, we tend to look at ourselves as this big family of God, like in the galaxy when you look up and you see these clusters up here and they call this galaxy this and this galaxy this. We forget to think about this. The galaxy is made up of individual stars, each one put right in its place. I think about Psalms 139. God lets us see how personal it is. He tells us when we read Psalms 139, hey, listen, let me tell you how special you are. I knit you together in your mother's womb. Oh, I think about the knitting, each stitch, each stitch, each stitch. And I think about each thing in my life and the way he made me. He put me together. He put you together in your mother's womb before you even became a person. He made you fearfully and wonderfully. Then how is it we think we can disappear in the shadows of Christianity? We can hide in the religion, in the shadow of Christianity, even in the church, and become this person that will just get carried along right now. God's love to each and every one of us was personal. He made us personally, individually. He knit you together. He made you fearfully and wonderfully. And when we have the mindset that we're just going to go along with the group and God's still going to get done what he's going to get done, it doesn't matter to us or whatever, that's wrong thinking. Lord. And you're going to stand outside of the group and you're going to look in at God and you're going to miss what he has for you. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, he tells us God is personally watching over us. When you read this, you'll realize he's wanting to give us a depth of his perception. Not depth perception, the depth of his perception. You know what he says in Matthew 10? If you go there sometime, just read it. You know what he says? He says, not one sparrow falls from the sky that I don't know it, and yet you're more important. And then he gets down to this verse and he says, even the hairs of your head are numbered. I know so intricately about you. How do you think you can hide from me? I'm watching every thought. I love you so much. I know in detail down to the hairs on your head. And then Jesus makes it more personal. He said, listen, when you accept me as your Savior and you say, I want you to be my shepherd and my Savior, and you look in John chapter 10, when he puts himself in the shepherd's role, you know what he says? He says, he calleth his own sheep by name. God knows your name. He knows your name. Glory to God. And what was I thinking in my Christian walk, in my Christian life, when I was hiding in the mix saying, okay, listen, I believe in God. I believe in God. I'll stand up for him. Listen, America needs to get back to God. I hear this talk. America needs to get back to God. I believe in God. I'm a Christian. I believe all these things. But it's not personal. It's like we're grabbing the big idea of God. He wants you one-on-one. When people start getting back one-on-one, you won't have to worry about the group. It'll get straightened out. It's a one-on-one. It's personal. The reason that we've slipped, even in our culture, in our society, is we started attacking this as a group. You say, are you preaching against the church? No. He wants us to come together in a group, but you can't depend on the group's faith. It has to be individual faith. The individual faith, the members of the body make up the body. He requires an individual relationship, a personal relationship. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. He knows your name. Turn to Luke 15, will you? I think this is one of the great sections of Scripture where Jesus gives these three parables. We'll see that Jesus is stressing this point of how individually important we are to God as he gives these three parables. When you read Luke chapter 15, you'll see, first of all, there's a parable of the lost sheep. Secondly, there's a parable of the lost coin. Thirdly, there's a parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. But in each case, I want you to read with me because you'll understand how important the one sheep is, the one coin, and the one son. It's an individual thing. Listen to what he says. Then drew near him unto the publicans and the sinners for to hear him. Listen, Jesus was getting ready to speak a message to the publicans and the sinners representing the unbelievers. Listen to what happens. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured. Now, these are the religious people. They murmured, they complained, they gossiped. They were saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Instead of being able to listen, instead of being able to take correction, they were judging, weren't they? Now listen to what Jesus says as he starts. He spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. My sheep is singular. He went after the one. He went after the one. You tell me it's not personal to God. Verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she finds it. Listen, this woman has lost the one piece of silver. Look at the effort to get the one back. Look at the effort that the shepherd had to get the one sheep back. Look at the effort. But look at the excitement. And when she hath found it, verse 9, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, here's where me and you come in. You say, I'm not a lamb, I'm not a sheep, I'm not a son. Well, you sure are a sinner, and I am too, right? And so he's saying this so that we can make the comparison. The third parable, he talks about the lost son. This son, you say, well, this son went out and he did all these things and he did all these things against the father. You know what he's showing you? He said, I have two sons, but I never quit caring about the one. The one is so important for me. So if he comes back to me, I'll kill the fatted calf. I'll put the robe on him. I'll put the ring on his finger. Why? Because it's personal. I care about the one. You say, why are we stressing this? Do you realize if we can leave here today and we can get this in here and in here, you'll live differently for him. If it becomes personal, you'll live differently for him. Well, what do you go out and do for that person that you don't even know compared to what you do for that person that you personally know? Even our acts of service are different when it's a personal relationship, right? You see, this is what Paul was saying in Galatians 2:20. As I saw this, I began to think, what was it about Paul? This is what it was about Paul. He really got it. He really got it. He realized that God loved him personally. He realized that Jesus gave himself for Paul personally. I want you to listen to the end of Galatians 2:20. This life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. Listen, he realized it was personal. Who loved me and gave himself for me. As if it would be nobody else. He loved me. I know who I am and he loved me. Do you think about God in that way? Or do we hide in the group and say, God loves us. God loves everybody. Sure he does, but he loves you personally. What we need to see is that we can say the same thing. His personal love for us, his personal sacrifice for us, his personal desire to fellowship with us. It was personal. We're the one lost sheep. We're the one lost coin. We're the one lost son. We are that one. Glory to God. What does God want from us? Here's what he wants. He wants the same thing that anybody that you're in a personal relationship wants. He wants a personal response to his love. He wants reciprocal love. He wants a personal response to his service. He wants reciprocal service. You show me a marriage, a covenant between two people where the one person is doing everything, but the other person doesn't respond, and I'll show you a broken marriage. You show me a Christian who has come into covenant with God and even accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they keep taking and taking, and they refuse to respond in love, in service, in fellowship, in worship, in conversation, and I'll show you a covenant that's not broken, but severely damaged. In that same covenant, that person, and it could be somebody here today, might be saying, hey, listen, I have a personal relationship with God, but they're not really thinking about what personal means. I ask us today to grade personal by the definition that we know. Do you have a personal relationship with God? You see, anyone can hear about God. Anyone can believe there is a God. Anyone can believe that Jesus existed 2,000 years ago and that he did die on the cross. But listen, that does not bring you into a personal relationship with the Lord. You say, well, that has to. You believe in God. You believe that Jesus. No. That knowledge doesn't bring you into a personal relationship with God. The book of James tells us even the devils believe in God. That doesn't bring you into a personal relationship with God. What brings you into a personal relationship with God is if you take it and respond to it, and then you're personal back to Him. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Amen. He gave his sins to Christ and said, I believe you're the only person that could die for my sins. Amen. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. When I walk out of here today, Paul is saying, I'm not walking out by myself. I'm walking out knowing that I'm not alone. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If I go home, He goes home. If I go to work, He goes to work. If I talk to my wife, He talks to my wife. If I talk to my children, He talks to my children. If I'm with my buddies, He's with my buddies. We're together. It's personal. Paul got it, didn't he? And then this zeal that he had, this confidence that he had. Well, wouldn't you, if you truly believed you had a personal relationship with God? In order to come into a personal relationship with the Lord, we have to do some things as an individual and then realize that God did things for us individually. Do you realize that every person has to be saved for himself? Amen. How many people know that? Do you realize that there's a lie that's being portrayed through the pulpits today of churches everywhere, that God loves you, and because He loves you and you believe in this God, that you are brought right into His family? You say, well, isn't that what we're supposed to believe? What's being taught is the universal fatherhood of God, that since you're born, you're a child of God. God requires you to come into a personal relationship with Him. I can't come into a relationship through your faith, and you can't come into a relationship through my faith. I can't just go gain the knowledge from somebody teaching me, and because I gained the knowledge that Jesus did walk the earth, and where He did, and what His journey was, and what His preaching was, and because I know about God, and I've read the first books of the Bible, where the story of creation, because I know that doesn't bring me into a relationship with God. I have to personally come into a relationship with God. Every person has to be saved individually. They have to believe for themselves. Do you realize that I can't get saved for you and you can't get saved for me? Tell you what, anybody here hungry? Go ahead and be honest, right? You hungry? Yeah. All right. What say I go eat a big old cheeseburger for you? Lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise, little pickle on the side, maybe some fries. What say I go eat that for you? Is that going to help you? You're going to stop being hungry? I can't eat for you. Anybody in here tired and want to sleep? I know who you were before you raised your hand. I just asked. What say I go sleep for you? I go sleep and give me a good 3 hours for you. Is that going to help you? You're cold and you're outside and you need to be warm. I put a coat on for you. Is that going to help you? No. I can't eat for you. I can't sleep for you. I can't clothe myself for you, and I can't get saved for you, and you can't for me. This is individual things. In order to take care of yourself and take care of your outside and your inside soul, you have to do it for yourself. Even in the ordinances of God, when He tells us to come and be baptized of Him, we're not told we can get baptized for each other. We can't take the Lord's Supper for each other. He demands individual, personal worship. Do you realize that every one of us is called individually? this universal fatherhood of God that, hey, he's just saying, hey, listen, Jesus died on the cross so everybody is saved. God calls us individually. Or why did Jesus say in Matthew 11, hey, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, from meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your soul. Come to me, come to me. He's calling individually, right? And you have to accept that call. What about Revelation 3:20? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, is that singular? If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, singular, and will sup with him, singular, and he with me, singular, singular. We're together. That's personal. He doesn't call us as a group. He calls us individually. And then we're told to answer the call. Praise God for the whosoever's in the Bible. But it's distinct. Do you realize in Romans 10:13, he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever takes it from the group down to individuals, it takes it to me and you. You're a whosoever, I'm a whosoever, right? He calls us individually, and then individually we have to answer. We know this verse, don't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now you see a picture of God and you see a picture of his son. Just God and his son. Just God and his son. Are you looking at that? How personal that? God said, for I loved you so much. And Jesus is the one speaking it, that he gave his only begotten son. How personal. That whosoever.
Hallelujah.
Who just came into the picture? We did. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're called individually to answer. Not as a group. It's personal. Do you realize we can't do these things for someone else, and someone else can't do these things for us? We have to individually believe that God is who he says he is. We have to individually believe that Jesus is our only way to come to God. We have to individually recognize that we've sinned against God. We have to individually confess the guilt of our sin to God. I can't confess yours, and you can't confess mine, and I don't need to confess mine to you. We have to individually ask for forgiveness of our sins. We have to individually ask for salvation through the blood and sacrifice of Jesus. We have to individually ask the Lord to save us from our sin. I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. Why? It's what?
Personal.
Somebody tell me what it is.
Personal.
It's personal. God's always meant it to be personal. But this Paul, glory to God, I began to look at his life, and I went back to Acts chapter 9. When God called him, he's on the Damascus Road. He's the man. He's got letters to go and have the authority to take Christians and drag them out of their places of worship and kill them because they're standing against the old way. And he wanted to put down any kind of Christianity, anybody that believed and accepted Jesus. And then God showed up on the Damascus Road. If you go to Acts 9 sometime and read this story, it's beautiful because he was struck down. This man with all this position and power, and God made it personal to him that day. And it was personal. And let me tell you, this man of all esteem, he raised up from that place. And if you read verse 6, you know what his response is? Listen, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? What wilt thou have me do? Read Acts 9, verse 6. What wilt thou have me do? You know what Paul realized? It's personal. It's up to me and you. Now, what do you want me to do? I'm not worried about what he wants you to do. What do you want me to do? That's personal. Glory to God. And we have to live our own life to God individually. Our commitment has to be personal. It can't depend on someone else's commitment. We see this a lot of times. You see people that are in relationships together and they say, well, yeah, we just stopped going, or we're not doing that anymore. This person's got this going on and this going on. And before you know it, this person's out of church. The person with them's out of church. Then their children's out of church. Then everybody. Hey, listen, one commitment depends on somebody else's commitment. But guess what? Do you realize we're judged according to our own commitment? It's personal. Our calling is personal. Our response is personal. and we're judged personally according to that. We have to live our own life to God. Even though we come together and we worship as a group in our church body, we pray together, we sing together, we praise together, we learn together, we serve together, we do this as a group made up of individual believers, and God commands us to. The group gives us strength, and we use each other to strengthen each other and to minister to one another, but we're all held accountable by God as to our individual relationship with Him, and we're all judged by God as an individual. But I don't want you to take my word for it. Listen to Romans chapter 14, verse 10 through 12. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. But listen to verse 12. So then, every one of us shall give an account to the Lord. Now, you can try to make that what you want it to be, but when he says every one of us, is it personal at that point? It's personal. And he doesn't stop there. When you read 2 Corinthians 5:10, he tells us, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done. He's saying, once you come into a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, after you come into that personal relationship, then one day you have to stand in front of him personally and give an account of what you've done. And then he said, hey, listen, the other thing is the judgment is going to come upon you personally. So you're saying, okay, yeah, at this point, everything that I've done in my body as a Christian, that's when I get my rewards. But the last part of this verse says, hey, whether it be good or bad, we're judged personally. This part-time relationship that we think God is okay with, that we can jump inside the Christian faith or the Christian religion and say, hey, yeah, I'll touch him then and I'll touch him now. And listen, hey, things are bad now, so I'm going to run to him. I'm going to run to him. Listen, hey, that's not a personal relationship. That's not a personal relationship. So how do you know? I've lived it before. You're a freeloader. Freeloader on God's love. I've been one before. Anybody else been one? Help me out. Freeloader on God's love. God, hey, listen, I love you. I'm going to be doing my thing over here. If it gets bad, I'll be crawling back to you and I'll be praising you. And in the time being, I'll be saying, hey, God's good. He's going to take care of me. Then why aren't you worshiping him? Why aren't you praying to him? Why aren't you praising him? Why do you come every now and then to me? That's what I'd be saying to my child. Who are you pretending this to? God, the one that knit you together in your mother's womb? That's what I was convicted of. When he was telling me this, I'm thinking, hey, listen, God, I can't believe I did you like this. You wanted a personal relationship with me. And I made as if you didn't even see me, like I could hide in between these other things and touch you every now and then. It wasn't personal. And because of that, I didn't have personal joy. Because of that, I kept having dilemma and confrontation and anxiety and worry and no sense of peace and definitely no zeal and definitely no witness and definitely no testimony. I was the opposite of Paul. You know why? Because it wasn't personal. Do you see how big a deal this is? Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This last statement, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hey, listen, how many people can honestly say that your response to Jesus, the response of love, the response of praise, the response of worship, really looks like a personal relationship? You know, if I was introducing somebody to you today that came into the house that you had that was on fire and drug you out of that house and then went back in for your children and carried your children out but faced all the pain of the fire and was burnt beyond recognition. And they came in here today. You know what? You'd be standing on your pews clapping for them because they did this for you. You know why? Because it was personal for you. But yet we can't even get somebody to praise the Lord when we talk about He loved us and gave Himself for us. We can't get somebody to shout for Him. We can't get somebody to praise Him. But yet, if we put it in personal sense, we would be praising or glorifying somebody. Is it really personal to you? Did you really receive it? Do you think about the personal gift of love? Listen to what Paul says. Who loved me and gave Himself for me? Is it real? If it's personal, there would be a zeal. If you saw that person out, you'd say, hey, see that guy? Listen to what he did. But we're not talking about the guy that did something for us on Calvary 2,000 years ago. We're afraid. We're saying, I don't want to come across wrong to this person. I don't want to offend them. It's not the approach. I'm not going to hit them in the head with the Bible. I've heard all that. That's horrible. Horrible. We come up with reasons why we don't want to witness to somebody. But yet if somebody saved you or your family, you'd be shouting across the parking lot, there he is. There he is. He personally saved me. And then I would have to say, and after I turned my back on him, he's still personally loving me every day. So I love him even the more. Listen, I've lived time away from the Lord outside in the distance where it wasn't personal. I was in the covenant, but it wasn't personal. But I realized nobody really has to tell me how faithful I should be, when I should pray or when I shouldn't pray, when I should read or when I shouldn't read, when I should praise or I shouldn't praise, when I'm in a personal relationship with the Lord. As a matter of fact, you can't stop me from talking about it. Why? Because when it's personal, it's like Paul had it. It's different. You know what God wants from you? He wants it to be personal. He loved me. He gave Himself for me. Paul realized that God's love for him was personal. He realized that Jesus died for him personally because Jesus loved him. He realized that he had to reciprocate that love, but nobody was forcing him. You won't see anywhere where Paul was told what he had to do. Paul, you have to do this. Nobody was twisting his arm. He realized his own weaknesses. He even described, inside of me, there's a desire to do good, but then there's something else that just makes me not want to do good, and so I battle that. And listen, he was heartbroken about it. Why? Because he had a personal relationship. If I knew that I was disappointing my wife, but I had a personal relationship, I would feel bad about it. Yeah. Guys, in the midst of us going around claiming that we have a personal relationship, we need to check our heart and see if we really do. Because if we really do, we would be treating him a lot more personal. Paul received the personal love of God and received the personal sacrifice of Jesus and was overwhelmed that this love was directed at him personally. And I think that's what I've seen lately so much. In these past weeks, I cannot believe that God loves me and keeps loving me. I can't believe it. Paul saw that God wanted a personal relationship with him, and Jesus made a personal sacrifice. He responded to God by coming into a personal relationship with God, and then he lived every day on a personal level with God. I can remember, and I tell this for our youth, I can remember as a young Christian when I was faced with these other relationships that I wanted to make in school and with friend groups. I remember being just this double agent. I was a Christian at church, but when I went to school, I represented something totally different. I realize now it all falls into this category. It comes down to who you're wanting to establish that personal relationship with. You put your personal relationship with God on hold so that you can establish personal relationships with other friends. So you stop doing what God wants you to do and you start doing what they want you to do. And then you want to blame it on the group and say, hey, listen, it's the group I was with. No, listen, the group's blaming it on you. Somebody else's parents say, hey, it's that kid he's running around with. You become that person. Well, how did all that happen? You chose a different personal relationship. It happens in our adult life. It happens all the time. We choose this personal relationship and we leave the personal relationship of God alone. We don't feed into it. We try to pour into something else and we've got an excuse that verifies it. But really it boils down to how personal you are with the Lord. Do you realize, even in saying all these things that Paul did, he was such a champion. What's great is that we can have that same kind of zeal. We can have that same kind of joy. We can have that same kind of relationship that Paul had. Same God, same love. God doesn't want us to just know that he exists. Jesus doesn't want us to just know that he died for us. He wants us to respond on a personal level because he loved us on a personal level and then continue to live with zeal and boldness and confidence and devotion that comes with being in a personal relationship with him. It's personal. It's personal. It's personal. I apologized to my wife last week in the midst of studying for things. It came upon me because I'm weighing relationship against relationship. The second covenant that I came into, the second most important covenant after my covenant with God was my covenant to my wife. And so I realized, I said, listen, I want to tell you, I absolutely loved you last year. But do you realize I feel now that I didn't compared to how I love you? Now why? Why? It's more personal than it was a year ago. A year ago was more personal than it was 2 years ago. We've shared more together. We've cried together. We've laughed together. We've loved together. We've been able to embrace different situations together. We've talked more. We've had more conversation. We've complimented more. We've done more. We've spent more time. It's become more personal. I'm not talking about my relationship with my wife now. I'm talking about relationship with God. Do you see the similarities? Your relationship with God will grow deeper and deeper. Listen, I loved the Lord last year, but nothing compared to now because he's spoken to me more. He's shown me more. He's rescued me more. He's given me more peace. He's given me more joy. He's loved me more. He's revealed himself to me more. And he's given me a chance to praise him more and worship him more. It's become more personal. In the same way your relationship would grow with a person, it should be growing with God if it's what? Personal. We have an invitation right now, and on this invitation, it'll be a time for you to make it personal with God. You know there are people that are either here today or people listening that have believed in the idea of God and they think they have a personal relationship with God, but they've never really made it personal. Now, I don't know who you are and I'm not going to judge you. But I'm asking you today, based on the scripture here, you would be able to see some sort of zeal. You would be able to see some sort of reciprocal love. You would see some sort of faithfulness, this desire to speak to the Lord, desire to fellowship, desire to serve him, desire to feed in this relationship if it was personal. Have you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart? You realize, hey, listen, we're sinners. We can't get to God, but Jesus loved you. God loved you. He suffered and died so he could be the sacrifice for your sins. He loved you that much. It was personal. What does he want you to do? He wants you to personally accept him today as your Savior. You say, how do I do that? You have a personal prayer. Father God, I'm a sinner. I know that you see my sins because you made me. You knit me together. You know all about me. I'm not hiding from you. I realize my sin. I confess him. I believe that Jesus died for me personally. There's only one way I know that I can get to you, and I want to claim Jesus as my Savior. Come into my heart, Lord, personally. Save me. Thank you for loving me. I accept Jesus as my Savior. I make a personal commitment to you. I love you and I'll live for you. Do you realize at that moment in time? At that moment in time, you enter a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and God Almighty. Isn't that wonderful? If you've done that, you know how easy it is to get distracted by something else in life that becomes personal to us? Maybe you're there. I was there for a while. I wasn't admitting it then. I would have told you then as much as you would have asked me. I've got a personal relationship with God. But if you graded it by what a personal relationship looks like, you would have found out I wasn't speaking the truth. You say, what do we do? The Bible tells us that when we want to restore a relationship, we go to that person. Who is that person? That person is God. He says, come to me. Come to me personally. Bow before him today. Be able to rededicate your life in a personal relationship with him. Ask him to show you himself personally. Commit to him your personal love, your personal service. And you'll be able to experience that boldness and joy and peace that Paul did. You'll be able to see lives change around you. Your family will know your life has changed. The people that work around you will know. The people that go to school with you will know. Why? Because it'll be personal. That's the personal relationship that you have. Father God, I love you and I praise you. I thank you, Lord, for your word. And I pray, God, today as we receive your word, I pray you change lives with it. If there's someone here listening, Lord, I just pray, God, that they would see right now to be able to judge their relationship with you. Have they ever come into a personal relationship with you? Have they ever truly accepted Jesus as their Savior through their own prayer, through their own feeling, through their own heart? Lord, if they have it today, give them a boldness to know nothing else matter. Let them come and make it personal to them. And I pray, God, for Christians all over this room. Lord, we say it's personal, but you've shown us today a way to be able to judge ourselves if it's really personal. I pray, God, that you would change lives today as we examine ourselves. Let us leave here, Lord, with a closer walk, a more personal relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.